Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's where you get the Tasmanian racing edge. Now on Carnival, welcome to Taz Racing Talk. Here's Shane Yates.
Hello and welcome along to the show for another week. Today we'll catch up with the co-development manager of Thoroughbred Racing in Tasmania, Simon Stout. Get all the winners with Peter Staples of the big 9-event card coming up at the Peter Park at Devonport on Saturday afternoon. Yes, that's Saturday afternoon on Sky 2. We'll have all the action there from the Peter Park with the final, the big sprint championship there. Greg Fay and Rick Puccinelli will be along to talk everything greyhound racing. And we'll catch up with Mick Stringer, the trainer of Painted Dotty, who goes around in the National Distance Championship at Cannington on Saturday night. So stay with us. Taz Racing Talk.
The cleaner in front, fast and free. He'll have a job to get past him. The cleaner knows how to fight, and he fights on and he wins. The cleaner first by a length.
Now, on Taz Racing Talk, time to talk thoroughbreds.
Co-development manager of Thoroughbred Racing in Tasmania, Simon Stout, joins us today on Taz Racing Talk. How are you, Simon?
Terrific. Thank you, Shane.
Well, this Winter Carnival series continues at Devonport. We've had a couple of great weeks. We've got another one lined up this weekend.
We do, yeah, we do. We had, wonderful, we've run the two preludes now, and last week we saw the distance prelude go to big time from the Adam Trinder stable. Certainly a horse, you know, he's a stakes winner, having won the Dulcify in Sydney as a three-year-old, and he's certainly returned to decent form for Adam down here and gave Adam and young Jake Bayliss a double on the day. We also saw the return of three of our quality three-year-olds in Valdez, GG's Double J and Lustica.
Did we pick up anything off the Stride Master or video replays from last week's meeting?
Yeah, we've come up with four, Shane, and we'll kick off in the first with Me Consul. We've mentioned over previous weeks just the strength of what we think the three-year-old form will be going into taking on the older horses. And this stood out yet again, where first starter Me Consul made a big impression coming from way back in the field over the Flying 900. But he reeled off some exceptional sectionals to win. And in actual fact, when compared to Lustica's win later on in the day, although an overall slower time, he managed to run quicker sectionals than her for his last 800 and last 400, where he ran 44.48 and 22.59 respectively. So he's obviously a horse that's going to be open to natural improvement just in terms of his race manners, but also, he's obviously got plenty of ability to go with it.
Yeah, very impressive debut, for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. To see him come from where he did, a lot of young horses sort of lose their way when they end up tailed off out the back like that. But he managed to pick himself up and, gee, really found the line with some gusto. We move on to race two. And, this saw Valdez, who was coming off a last start run in the VRC sire. So he was facing a nice drop in class back to a Colts and Geldings maiden here over the 1150 first up, and he managed to get the prize, albeit narrowly, from Flying Stevie. And Flying Stevie, he's definitely got his hoof on the till. This was the quicker of the two 1150 maidens, and he managed to run his last 846.26. So although he may have been costly for punters thus far, he's definitely worth sticking with because a win is not too far away for him. We move on to race six in the program, and as we highlighted last week, GG's Double J, he came off an exceptional trial in Hobart prior to heading to the races, and he backed that up with an outstanding performance out in front to win. But this race overall, I think there was a number of performances behind him which suggest that it's going to be an extremely strong form race. I think if you're weighing up form throughout the rest of the Devonport season, but certainly going forward from beyond that, if you see this horse's form come up and you've got a runner from behind it, the likes of, say, Tuesday Night Delight or Fashion Label or Gotta Have Faith, they all managed to reel off sectionals that broke 47 for their last 800 and 24 for their last 400. So this is going to be one hell of a strong form race going forward and one to keep in mind. And finally, the last race off the video. If you had Tennessee Drive one out in your quaddie in the last, I'd have to say you're a little bit stiff, because this horse was lucky to stay on his feet approaching the 600 metre mark, where he clipped heels and dipped noticeably. He did a good job to pick himself up and still run second. He wasn't able to reel in Berno, but certainly a forgive run based on what we saw on the video.
Yeah, really hitting the line hard at the finish, that's for sure. Now, we've got 9 races coming up this weekend. It's on Saturday, back to a Saturday program again, so plenty of chances to back a winner on the mainland as well as you head to Devonport. We've got the sprint final quality race coming up. It's going to be a beauty given the prelude that we've seen last week.
It will indeed, yes. Importantly to note too, Shane, this meeting is on Sky 2. All the pubs and clubs will have it on the Sky 2 screens, but if you're looking for it at home, that's what you'll need to be on. We're making way for the Breeders' Crown Finals on Sunday. But happy to be on Saturday in amongst the best racing in the nation. And certainly our $25,000 Topeda Sprint Final looks terrific. We've got Innocent Gamble, who was a dominant winner last time out, but throw into the mix Minute Repeater. Iggy McCool returns from a spell here. She's been trialled up and scratched recently from the 1,000-metre race and saved for this 1150. You got Loaded Owners, who came off a super win himself over the Flying 1,000 the other week on the same day. And there's plenty to talk about in this race. And certainly, Innocent Gamble will be the one to gun down, but if there's any chink in his armour, there's plenty of quality here to expose him.
But you mentioned Iggy McCool. It's not the only McCool returning to racing on Saturday.
No, we've got our premier jockey back from holidays, Brendan McCool. He's taken only a couple of rides at the higher end of the weights, including Osborne in race 5 at 59 kilos. As most racing followers would know, Brendan doesn't ride exceptionally light, and as he's returning from holidays, he's just easing himself back into things. But it'll be good to have both Brendan and Bullet Muku. Bullet's been back to Turkey for the last 2 weeks. He'll also, our reigning champion apprentice, will also be returning to the track.
Yeah, no doubt you've been... Sorry, Simon, you're right.
No, we're just going to hook in, and we've had a quick look at the videos and the Stridemaster data, and we think we've come up with a handful here that might be able to set punters in the right vein.
That sounds pretty promising. Are we starting early in the day?
We are indeed. We're kicking off in race 1 with a filly that we highlighted last week from the Adam Trinder stables in Sweet Treat. She struggled to tack on. She was only having her first start. She got a little bit lost. She covered a fair amount of ground in the run from the 600 metre mark. She still managed to break 37 for her last 600 and hit the line quite nicely. She gets the services of Jake Bayliss here, and down on the minimum weight, we think that she can make good natural improvement from that first run and be highly competitive here. We then go into race 2, where we've found one from the Stuart Gandy stable, and Stuart's horses are racing extremely well at Devonport at the moment, as highlighted by DJ's Double J last week. But GG Showboy, he finished second behind Don't We Love It at his last start. And Don't We Love It, as we mentioned last week, Shane, he did a terrific job leading throughout. But this guy, he settled back in the field and was the only horse to make serious, genuine ground from back in that race. He reeled off sub 48 last 800. He gets to a 1650 here. And we think if he can carry that form forward, he'll once again be in the money. We then move on to race 4, the second division of the 1350 maiden, and we've highlighted Host Esprit here. Host Esprit ran second to Scouting Around last week, and managed to run sub 11s mid race. Now Bullet Muku gets back aboard. Drawn barrier 6. We think that if he can control the tempo from out in front, this horse will be very, very hard to beat. The danger there will be Unparalleled, who we also highlighted last week, as running on quite strongly in his first run for the Adam Trinder Yard, and he steps from the 1150 to the 1350. But we think if Host Esprit can control the tempo, that he'll be too strong here. Then to race five, we found another one of Stuart Gandy's, and that's GG Soprano. His last 600 the other day was in an exceptional 35.70. We think that he stays at the 13.50. He's drawn barrier three. He'll be certainly getting the gun run from that point, and we think he'll be in the money once again. Race six, Beer Belly's on the quick backup here for Adam Trinder over the 1880. But last week over the 1650, he actually managed to run quicker time than Big Time did in the distance prelude. It was his first go at the 1650 this time around, and Jake Bayliss did a terrific job rating him in front. Jake stays aboard even though he rises in weight. He gets some relief from Jake's 1.5 kilos. He gets barrier three here, and we think that if he can get out in front and reel off similar sectionals again, he won't be getting run down. And finally, to close out the event, we've got a very strong leg of the quaddie. And there's three recent horses that have all had a mention with our section here on RSN Carnival in recent weeks, Shane, and that they are Moonless, Dollar Dan and Super Born Band. We've got Moonless on top of the other two, just based on his quality and the fact that he gets out to the 1650 for the first time. We think he'll relish that. But certainly, if you are looking to load up or you've got your multiples in the last, I would throw in Dollar Dan and Super Broadband as well.
Well, it promises to be a great meeting on Saturday. 9 races on the card on Sky 2. All the information is there on tasracing.com.au, Stridemaster, video replays and all the forms. So no excuses not to back a winner. What about the awards dinner coming up later in the month?
Yeah, we've got the Thoroughbred Awards dinner on the 29th of August at Rest Point Casino. And I've been reliably informed that tickets are selling quite fast. There's not a lot of room left available. And if you would like to attend that evening, which is sure to be a cracking evening, you can contact Lynn Holden at Taz Racing on 6212-9333.
Should have been moonlighting as a car salesman, Simon. Thanks for that time and effort again today.
Not a worries, matey, anytime.
Taz Racing contributes to the production costs of Taz Racing Talk.
Time to find some winners now for the big weekend of racing coming up at the Peter Park at Devonport. The man charged with that responsibility is Peter Staples. How are you, Brett?
I'm pretty good, Shane. Looking forward to this. This is the edition four of our five meetings in August, and we've got the final, the sprint final, $25,000 to Peter sprint final on, and what a grace it's going to be.
Yeah, some great runners going around in the final. What about the first leg of the quaddy race, number six? It's over the 1,880-metre journey for the benchmark 62, Beer Belly. Very impressive last start.
Yeah, it was, and you probably think that that it, and if it starts, I had a talk to Adam Trinder today, and if it's D, you ate up well and everything else is fine, but he's got 59 with the claim. At the moment, he's definitely going around, but things can change between now and race start time. But if he does go around, he's going to be very hard to beat. And Jake Bayliss got off him last week and said this horse will get 2,000 and beyond. So he led, and that's his way to go. Jake's got a good understanding of the horse now, so I think he's going to be the one to beat. Russo's Destiny, he's destined for a jumps career, but Jizzy was strong to the line, and he'll appreciate the 1880. And I think either one of those. If Beer Belly starts, then Russo's Destiny and Beer Belly will fight it out. Evil Intent got home really well last start behind Beer Belly and Russo's Destiny, finished fourth, and GG's Opera finished fifth. So I think last week, the horses that ran around in that race and finished first, second, fourth and fifth, I think they're the ones that'll fight it out, and they'll be the ones I'll be taking in the quaddie, 1, 3, 5 and 6. And if one comes out, then you might pop the stablemate Kuda Feedies in as a chance number two.
Race number seven on the cards, the Class 1 handicap over the 1,150. It's Flash Owl at the top of the weights for Glenn Stevens.
I like It's Flash Owl. Does have a cheer of weight, drawn a wide gate. Shannon Brazil back to ride, and she had a lot of success when she was living over here and when riding for Glenn Stevens, and a lot of success with his horses, and reacquaints herself with a couple of those on Saturday. It's Flash Owl. It'll be one of the top chances. Wania. It's got a terrific first-up record. they put the money on and left it in the bag a couple of times first up, once they got the dough, and it was it's certainly going to be a chance. Drawn the inside gate and Daniel Ganderton to ride, and that's a plus. So he's a chance, along with number four, Holly Cat. He's had three runs. Been freshened up for this, and I think the freshen up were doing the world of good. Or a couple of weeks, 3 weeks to freshen up on it, and it's he'll be a chance. Drawn a better gate, and Chantel Wallace takes 2 kilos off. Puts it 1.5 above the minimum. Magnetic Queen, wrote it incorrectly last time. They went out there and tried to lead. Got to be ridden off the pace to get the best out of Magnetic Queen. And if that happens, from barrier four and Jake Bayliss can get a nice bit of cover and just expose her at the top of the straight, then I think she's probably the one to beat. Satin and Rose just missed last time in a head bobber. And Rumoron could not have been more impressive the way she hit the line late. And while I prefer her over a little bit more ground, the 1150 is still suitable, although the wide gate means that Ismail Doga's going to have to go back and ride her for luck again. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 12 will probably take the lot.
Well, hopefully you've got enough in the pocket to be able to cover that one, Pete. And then we go into the third leg, an Innocent Gamble, a track specialist. Outstanding win last time out.
He was indeed, and he led from the front, and he was... Well, he was just awesome in the straight. His times were terrific. And, look, I think he's the one to beat with loaded owners. Now, we know he was first up from a lengthy spell. He won his first race in 4 years. But he's absolutely flying. He's drawn barrier two, so he's going to have to do no work, although Innocent Gamble's drawn four. So the two to likely to fight out favouritism have both drawn well. And I would just think that there's no claims in this race, so there's no claim for Ismail Toker. And Anthony Darmanin takes the ride on loaded owners. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Although Ismail Toker's got a great record on Innocent Gamble. I think he's had 6 wins on the horse. So the stable apprentice will certainly be able to match motors with Darmanin. Minute Repeater, I think, is the only one that can beat either the one and the nine. He flashed home and did his best work at the business end. And he'll be very much improved by that first up run. I've got a big opinion of this horse from Tegan Key Stable. So I would only be taking 3 in this, 1, 9 and 4.
Okay, we've trimmed it up a little there. I'm tipping you might be going wide in the last leg.
Well, there's 6 genuine chances in the race. And they vary in the degree of winnability. And Dollar Dan, his last start win was so impressive that he just needs to reproduce that effort and he wins. And he's drawn 9, Shannon Brazil will be able to get him across and just get a little bit of cover. But he gets exposed, he gets covered and when he's exposed for that run, he is absolutely dynamic. And if he gets into a winning position, turning for home, he'll win the race, no question. And I think he's got a decent future, this horse, and he'll probably even get over more ground. There's a few chances in the race. Sundisk and Spotluck, 1 and 2 respectively. They're certainly there. Spotluck's drawn to lead and get a bit of a lead because Hayley McCarthy will take 3 kilos off. She'll only carry 55.5. So this mare of Charlie Goggin and Luella Meeburn is going to be a player. And Moonless, number 4, he's due to deliver on his best. O'Reilly's GG's done nothing wrong this prep. He won first up in Hobart. He was probably unlucky not to win at his next start. Ismail Taker takes 1.5 kilos off. Reggio, he's good. Jamie Bayliss. Now this is Jake Bayliss's father, and interesting that he's coming down to the state to ride this weekend. That'll be interesting to see dad and son going hammer and tongs in a race. And I wish him all the best, Jamie. And to a rougher extent, maybe Super Broadband. Don't We Love It's being tested with the guineas in mind, tested to the 1650. I think this might be a little bit too hot for Don't We Love It. If you're bold, I'll be taking 6-1 out. But if you want to be a bit safer, I'll be taking the 1, 2, 4 and 7 as well. But it's early days, when we get to assess the form, just after they've been released, and probably I'll go in and look at some speed maps and probably come up with my top four selections that will appear on tasracing.com.au under Punter's Corner in the Thoroughbred tab. I make those available on Friday. So if you're looking to fine-tune it to four selections in each leg, then you can go to the website and have a look at those. But my first impressions on these legs of the quaddie I've just given you, and I do like the six in the last leg. I'm really tempted to take a few with him, one out in the last leg, Dollar Dan.
Okay, so how much are we going to have to spend this week to snare the quaddie? You got it last week, $3,000, wasn't it? $3,400?
$3,400 and a few bucks. And if you took my top four selections in each leg, you'd have got it. That was $256 to get that result. So,
okay, so you got a few dollars in front to play with this week.
Just a few, yeah. But I think we're probably going to have to spend a quid to make a dollar. Look, I haven't worked it out exactly, but you'd probably have to spend $108 or thereabouts if you decided to take number six, one out, in the last leg. So that's $108 if you take six, one out with all my selections I've just given you in the first three legs.
Okay, well, good luck. I hope everyone's jotted those down and keeps them very close, and has a slight investment there at the weekend on Saturday, and see if you can't get in the money again after that big collect from last week. Thanks for your thoughts again today, Pete.
All right, mate. We can go through the numbers again if you like, which is 1, 3, 5 and 6 in the first leg, into 1, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 12 in the second leg, 1, 4 and 9 in the third leg, and number 6, 1 out in the last.
Okay, and have we got a best bet to be able to get some money up before the quaddie comes along?
I think early in the day. I think Trinder will train the first two winners, Adam Trinder, that is. I like race one, number 8, Sweet Treat. Only had the one start. This one bred by Armadale, raced by the Wishaws, and it's a very impressive first-up run. Got held up and then flashed home. I think it'll be improved by the outing, and we'll get a bit of odds about that. 1.5 kilo claim for Jake Bayliss. He's got 52.5. And in the next race, Trinder saddles up Light the Candles. And he was a good third last week. Just got beaten for second by, I think, Roussos. The Roussos horse. Whatever it's called.
Roussos Destiny, wasn't it?
Yeah. Look, I think that was, we'll have really tightened this one up in the 1650. I think each way all day, race two, number 5, Light the Candles.
Okay, so an early double, then into the quaddie. It should be a great day. 9 races on the card at the Peter Park. You'll be there on Sky 2, Pete, so we look forward to watching the coverage.
Gets into some clear air and starts to run home gamely, but it's not going to be any match for Pasha Cutie, and Pasha Cutie comes on to win by 4 metres.
Now, on Taz Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Harness racing time now on Taz Racing Talk, and who better to talk to than the Toad Development Manager of Harness Racing in Tasmania, Kevin Nielsen. How are you, Kev?
Yes, very well, thank you, Shane.
Now, last Sunday in Hobart, it was a great program, and one horse in particular really caught the punter's eyes.
Everyone was talking about Thurlston King, a first starter 2-year-old that went over the mile in 159.5. And to get a context on that, the only other 2-year-old that's equaled that time this season has been the filly Follow the Wind. Jerry's Jet, Bossenhagen, haven't been able to get close to that time. Jerry's Jet did go 159.1 at Launceston, winning the Golden Slipper, but what a debut for Thurlston King. Really well bred by Modern Art out of Shansu Mod. Now, Shansu Mod was a Toronto Hanover mare out of Mod Humour. She was a very good racetrack performer, and she's been a grand producer. She never raced, but 8 of her 9 foals have won. Meldon Blaze won 19 races. He won 7 at Harold Park. He won the Globe Derby final. Jay Barden won 11 of 23 in a short injury-plagued career. Actually won his last 6 on end before succumbing to injury. Top Notch Dam won 18, including the Dandy Patch final. The other 5 winners out of Shansu Mod are Meldon Special 4 wins, Hope Floats 4, All About Mod 3, Meldon Supreme 1, and of course Thurlston King 1 from 1. Rick Duggan again, another double at Hobart, Giuliani and Angela DeMarco. Barry Rattray trained and drove both Who Is Hardeen and Devendra, and John Walters made it 2 doubles in a fortnight with Carouta Dazzler and Jeff's Crossing.
Now, of course, the highlight in Australian harness racing at the moment is the Breeders' Crown semi-finals.
Yeah, this could be the cream on the cake for Tasmania this year. It's been the best year ever with the Miracle Mile and the Dominion for Bowtide, and also the Victorian Oaks for Birinya. We may put another stamp on that badge this week, I think, Shane. The semi-finals last Saturday night and at Melton last Sunday. Boston Hagen out in Barrier 7. He attempted to qualify for the $297,000 final. He just failed, although he may still secure a run, being the first emergency. It was a great run from a wide draw, and, of course, the race was won by Follow the Stars. Won 9 from 10, the Mark Purden-trained horse, and he's a very short-priced favourite for the final. Boston Hagen does get a run. He's drawn Barrier 2 in the final on Sunday. In the same semi-final, Tasmanian Connection with Mojo Major, owned by Paige Ashwood and driven by her son Alex. It finished third, and Bertie Mack, the Fred and Pauline Barker breed, figuring prominently there, finished sixth, and that also qualified for the final. The star, Philly Barinha, had a big task ahead of her from the second line, and she wasn't disappointing at all in running second behind Quick Draft. And, of course, she'll go into the final on Sunday, drawn Barrier 8, and she's one of the favourites. Resurgent Spirit faced a huge challenge fronting up against Owl, Sky, Major and Bling It On, and there are no better three-year-olds in Australasia than those two. Somehow, Resurgent Spirit's finished only 13 metres behind those two stars from the extreme outside barrier draw. It was a great performance by the former Roger Whitmore-trained gelding, now, of course, with Barry and Todd Rattray. Sunday, the semi-finals, was a fairly easy procedure for the Tasmanian horses there. Spitfire Rose sat behind the leader, finished third for Rowan Hadley, qualified for the $100,000 final on Sunday. And Patrick Cutie led and won easily from Barrier 1. He controlled the race, and it's going to be a great battle between him and Bit of a Legend on Sunday in the final.
When was the last time that Tasmanian horses figured so prominently in a series such as this?
I think it was the ill-fated Cody Maverick, and I think it was back in 2008. And on the same card, Wayne Rattray also had Carouta Crown. And Carouta Crown did finish third, and Cody Maverick, unfortunately, hit the track with about 400 metres to go. But last year, Patrick Cutie ran second and Delightful Christian ran third. We haven't won a Breeders' Crown final yet, but certainly we'll be aiming to change that on Sunday, Shane.
OK, so what have we got to look forward to this week then?
Well, let's sum them up. The Breeders' Crown, in fact, the Better Crown, Better Delights, figured very prominently in this series along with Art Major, the size. But on Melton, at Melton tomorrow afternoon, we've got Resurgent Spirit in a $20,000 consolation. Race 6, number 90, looks extremely well placed there and a great winning chance. Friday night, another consolation. If Boston Hagen doesn't make the final, he'll compete in the consolation race 4, or he's number 6, a $20,000 race for the 2-year-old colts and geldings. And let's roll into Sunday afternoon. And we've got 4 Tasmanians in the finals. First one, Spitfire Rose, race 1, number 13. This Rowan Hadley trained mare faces a huge task from that wide draw on the second line. It's a $100,000 4-year-old mare's final. Patrick Cutie's next, race 5, number 11. He's already shown his class at this level by finishing second, a Bit of a Legend, in the 3-year-old final last year. And both are high up in the betting for the $100,000 final this Sunday. Brinya, same alley that resulted in her winning the $150,000 Victorian Oaks. Race 8, number 8. She only needs an ounce of luck to figure in the finish of the $213,000 3-year-old fillies final. And if Boston Hagen manages to get a run in the 2-year-old colts and geldings final, he's drawn very well in Barrier 2, again in a pretty hot field. And Mojo Major, the one owned by Paige Ashwood, is number 3, and Bertie Mack, the Fred and Pauline Barker breed, is number 8 in the same race.
And back on home soil, we've got a huge program lined up on Sunday night, the first of 11. Time to start at 5.23 with the last at 9.27. Looks a great card.
Yeah, we've had plenty of races during August at all of the Sunday twilight meeting, Shane, and it continues again on Sunday night with another 11 at Launceston. Trainers have certainly thrown their support behind the 2-year-old race. We've got 15 acceptors, so it's been divided into 2 divisions. A couple of first starters there in the first division, race 2. Paul Ashwood's got Troubadour for Lynn and Mick Maxfield. Big watch on this one. $50,000 Mick paid for this horse at the 2013 APG Melbourne Yearling Sale, and it did win a Carrick trial last Saturday. In the other 2-year-old, race 11, Heath Sipka has got a filly named Knights in Montgomery by Courage Under Fire out of San Antonio Stroll. She was second to the handy mare Helen Wheels at the Carrick Trials on the 2nd of August now. Second to Helen Wheels, and she's only beaten a short margin. Does sound impressive, but the time was very slow. Call Me Mouse is a 3-year-old gelding trained by Kent Rattray, and he'll be having his first start in race 4. He's by Modern Art out of Apple Sorbet, and guess who bred him, Shane? Credit to Pauline Barker is the answer, just while you're thinking about it. They seem to figure all the time. And his Carrick trial form is very impressive. On the 2nd of August, he was second to Maley Rose, and the subsequent winner, Vincent Kangoe, was behind him. Last Saturday, Call Me Mouse again second to Vincent Kangoe, and we've seen what Vincent Kangoe can do recently at Launceston. This horse will take a lot of beating on debut. Call Me Mouse in race four for Kent Rattray. And the harness form analysis, all of the analysis which I'm about to go through can be viewed at tasracing.com.au. All of Jamie's tips, selections and comments in the punter's corner section at tasracing.com.au.
So Jamie's away in New Zealand buying up all the top youngsters on the Shaky Isles to bring back to Tasmania. So we wish him all the best with that. But he's been kind enough to send through his tips for Sunday's meeting to you.
Yes, he has, Shane. Let's go through them from race one. His tips there are 11, 6, 4 and 2. And number 11, of course, is Cardinal Spec. And Cardinal Spec was a very promising type who has won very well at his last start. He goes back to the back row here. But if he's close up early, he'll take plenty of holding out. The aforementioned Vincent Kangoe is tipped for second, number 6. He was super impressive winning when he did all the work and won as he liked at his last start. Draws a touch wide here, and he'll need to do the work again, but he is a leading chance. Third for Jamie is Stoner Rainbow, number 4, getting very close to a win. He draws well. He may use his gate speed and try and cross them early. And for fourth, he's put in a stablemate to Vincent Kangoe, being Baruga Buster. Handy type. He'll certainly strip much fitter for his first up run. The selections there, 11, 6, 4 and 2 in the first. In the second, he's gone 6, 5, 2 and 1. Number 6 is John Snow. He's been around the mark at his 3 race starts. He's drawn a touch wide. Have to do a bit of work early, but he's still a leading chance. For second, House Haunter has finished second at 3 of the last 4. She deserves to break through. Third, number 2, Troubadour, the first starter for Paul Ashwood. And certainly draws well and must be kept very safe on debut. And for fourth, number 1, Odin's Queen Heller, draws to run an improved race here. So Jamie in the second has gone 6, 5, 2 and 1. In the third, the selections are 4, 8, 2 and 11. Number 4, Chirac, got a long way back last start when he hit the line strongly. Draws much better on Sunday. If he lobs handy, will take plenty of holding out. For second, number 8, Play Apple Tree, resumed from a long break from the track for a very impressive last start win at Hobart. Drawn inside the back row here, and if she gets some luck early, she'll take plenty of holding out. For third, number 2, Bravo Charlie, had a bit of a freshen up. He trialled okay during the week. And fourth, Bertel's Delight. We'll find this much easier than the last start when she had to do a bit of work in the run. And with a more economical trip, she can certainly figure at good odds. 4, 8, 2 and 11. Go to race 4. We've got the numbers of 2, 1, 9 and 7. Maley Rose, I mentioned earlier in regard to the trial form. She battled away in a much stronger race last week in Hobart, and she gets every chance from the barrier to draw here. Oscar Blakeden hit the line well in a good race last start. He draws the pole here, so if he can take advantage of it, he will be in the finish. Tried and true. First up for Rowan Hadley in Tasmania. Has to be kept very safe from the good trailing draw. And Tigellator ran a much improved race last start for Heath Sipka, and he can surprise at odds. 2, 1, 9 and 7. Rolling into the Quaddy, Shane, the first league, race 5. Jamie likes 1, 3, 13 and 6. Number 1, Carralta Dazzler in brilliant form at the moment. With a claim for young Wade Rattray, comes up with a pole, so whatever beats him will win. Second, number 3 these days, will strip much fitter for his first up run. Jamie's third selection is Party Boy Glenwood, number 13. He's been racing well, but will be relying on getting a cart into the race. If that happens, he'll be finishing hard. And number 6, Modern Scooter, handy type resuming, and although drawn wide, has to be kept very safe. 1, 3, 13 and 6 in the first leg of the Quaddy. The second leg, 12, 4, 2 and 7. Number 12, the Family Guy, is low flying and gets into a very winnable race here. He draws out the back, so he may get out to decent odds. Number 4, Robin Shabotsky, racing very well, obvious danger, as she's got some hope of finding a lead. Love the Life You Live, number 2, draws well, so we can expect a much improved run. She's a must for the exotics. And fourth, Bolton Mac, number 7, can sneak a place at huge odds. So we've got 12, 4, 2 and 7 in the sixth. The seventh is the Claimer, Jamie likes 4, 5, 6, and 2. Mel Park Maestro won well last start when he worked to the lead. If he leads again, he'll take some running down. Beef City Bow is a query. He's been out for 8 months. He's a very capable veteran. He's got to be kept safe. Third, Shanghai Knight is always around the mark in these races. He's first time for Grant Hodges, and with the right run, will be a danger. And fourth, Babe's Boy Bob ran a much improved race last Sunday when running second to Mel Park Maestro. The same scenario may eventuate here where he sits on the back of Mel Park Maestro. 4, 5, 6, and 2, race 7, the claimer. Race 8, 2, 4, 9, and 3 for the last leg of the quaddie. Really feisty draw as well. If she can find the top, she'll take plenty of running down here. Second, number 4, We Own a Masterpiece. Paid her for Give Its Last run and go on its previous form, and she's run some handy races in the past. Third, number 9, Oliver's Mate, is drawn to follow through from the second line. He lacks a bit of high speed. He battles away okay, though, and he's got to be a danger. And for fourth, number 3, Esquivo, can run a place at odds. So we've got 2, 4, 9, and 3. In race 9, 6, 4, 5, and 3, number 6, Margin Girl, racing really well, ideally placed here. She led the 3-wide line last week in Carrouta Dazzler's race. That was a much tougher assignment than this, and she'll take plenty of beating here. Second, Jamie likes number 4, Helen Wheels. She's a handy mare who can finish very quickly. And for third, number 5, Precious Dragon, been very consistent of late. And Hilda Sue, number 3, can run a race here at good odds. 6, 4, 5, and 3 in race 9. Race 10, it's a very handy C5 to C8, strong race. 3, 4, 1, and 7 for Jamie. 3, Diva's Delight, super season, looks well placed here and will get out to good odds. Number 4, Riverboat Jasper, very talented four-year-old who'll be looking to recapture his best form. He'll have to do a bit of work in the run, but must be included. Number 1, Giuliani, he's brutal winning last start. He will be hoping to hold up, and if he does, they may not run him down. And number 7, Talk About Dexter, can fill a place at odds again. So we've got 3, 4, 1, and 7 in the 10th. And race 11, we've got 3, 7, 1, and 2 from Jamie. Fundamentalist has been racing very well at this past couple. Gets his chance to break through here. My mate Tyson, drawn wide, but this is a winnable race for him with a little bit of luck. Maravilloso was much improved last time in a very slick mile rate and may pay to go to Taz Racing and watch the replays there in the race that Thurston King won. Maravilloso certainly was impressive in that very quick race. So go to the replays at tazracing.com.au. And for fourth, number 2, Punter Carrouta, draws well, may get to the pegs first. If that happens, he's certainly got a place hope. 3, 7, 1, and 2.
What about a couple of Jamie's best bets? Has he picked something out, Kip?
He's picked 3 best bets out. We'll go race 6, number 12, The Family Guy. Race 9, number 6, Margin Girl. Race 11, number 3, Fundamentalist.
What about some value runners?
Yeah, let's try the value. Race 1, number 11, Cardinal Spec. Race 3, number 4, Chirac. Race 10, number 3, Diva's Delight.
Anything's value when they win. And a couple of roughies on the card?
Yeah, he's gone a bit further, Jamie. We'll try race 1, number 2, Baruga Buster. And race 5, number 6, Modern Scooter.
And what about a quaddie?
Yeah, he put Carrouta Dazzler 1 out in the first leg in his first quaddie. So just number 1. Second leg, 4 and 12. Third leg, 2, 4, 5 and 6. And the fourth leg, 2, 4 and 9. $24 flexi will get you 100%. And just going around Carrouta Dazzler in the second quaddie, 3, 6 and 13 in the first leg. And the other legs remain the same. 4 and 12 in the second, 2, 4, 5, 6 in the third, and 2, 4, and 9 in the fourth. $36 will get you 50% of it.
Okay, and Jamie's tips have been on fire, so head to tazracing.com.au and find your way to the punter's corner and all Jamie's in-depth analysis of all races on the Big 11 event card on Sunday night will be there. Thanks for your efforts again today, Kev.
My pleasure, Shane.
In the first heat of the Sprint Championship, he's 6 in front and going further ahead. Buckle Up Wes is going to blitz them by, down to the post. He's won it by 13 lengths.
Now, on Taz Racing Talk, time to talk greyhounds.
Time to look back at the week that was in greyhound racing and tell us all about the action for the week. It's Greg Fay. How are you, Greg?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Shane.
Well, a couple of interesting races in Hobart to kick us off on Thursday night. We had the Young Star Classic Series. Opening race on the card, Rod Ringsley scored here with Maddie's Intention.
Yeah, ever since the dog came here, he's had three runs. He begun well each time, does everything right. He found the lead straight away and ran 26.44. Don't think he's destined for great heights, but he will certainly go through the low grades because his manners are perfect.
Now, in race number two, it was the first heat of the Young Star Classic. No surprise to see Ted Medhurst in the winner's circle.
No, Ted won both heats. There were only five runners in both heats. There's been a bit of kennel cough around, which got rid of a couple of the main chances. But Get It Right was excellent in winning the first of those Young Star heats. Ran 26.21, and the only real surprise was the fact that it overpowered Ireland's Force late in the race, because Ireland's Force, as we know, is very, very strong. She got rid of Buckle Up Fletch turning for home, and then Get It Right got over the top of her. So, yeah, very, very impressive young bitch.
And Star Chambers' winning form continued, making it 3 out of 6.
Yes, and as good as Get It Right looks to be, Star Chamber looks to be much better again. He's a real star in the making. Only had a handful of starts, a 26-second neat run in the heat. Not many dogs run that so early in their career. Boston Heart was pretty good running second, all accolades to the winner there. And having drawn box eight, you would think he'll go around a clear-cut favourite in the final.
Now, last week we mentioned the kennel performances of the Alan Anderson Prime, and he was to the fore again this week. He seems to come good this time of the year.
Yes, he does. He's getting out of control, isn't he? He had a double last Thursday night. This Thursday night gone, he's had three winners, Lashing Polly, Blue Tam and Cut 'Em Down, and very nearly made it four with Lashing Phil going down in a photo in race 10. Yeah, good to see Alan having such a golden run right at the moment.
And Lashing Polly, that second behind Crystal Innings, put the riding on the wall to say a win wasn't too far away, and it stepped up from the 278 to the 461 and had notched up its first win. It's only had the five outings, a little bit of a future for it.
Look, she's only an average greyhound in all fairness. She started life late. You know, she didn't race till she was nearly 2.5. Look, she'll win a few low grades because she's got the good manners, but as far as progressing up the chain, she'd need to lift the game a little bit.
Well, Blue Tam made it back-to-back wins with its victory, having won in Hobart the week before.
Well, he's actually been a revelation, and he is a much, much better dog than Lashing Polly. He's had three runs for Alan, last three runs for three wins, and he franked that form on Thursday night by blitzing another field at Launceston on Monday. He's really come good.
And Cut 'Em Down in the last, very consistent with 7 seconds to go with its one victory prior to Thursday night, but it had been working up to a win, a third, a second, and finally got there in the last.
Yeah, look, he's a funny dog. There's a big gap between his best and his worst, but his two wins have both been at Hobart, both from similar draws, 3 and 4, and each time he has won, he's looked pretty good.
Pat Howard's winning run continued also with Winkley Rose going back-to-back.
Yes, Winkley Rose. Matter of fact, they got a double with Winkley Rose leading all the way from a very suitable box eight. And then later on, Winkley Bent, who's probably the best dog in their kennel, I would think. He's won 6 races on the Northern tracks, but that was his first win in 11 runs at Hobart. But the way he got to the line, I don't think it'll be his last.
Now, speaking of a kennel in form, Steve Hutt, Red Nitro, back in the winner's list again.
Yes, greyhound with perfect manners, loves the U-turn track, and beat a really, really good grade 3 field to get that. Good question, was really strong running second. He won't be far off another win for Rod Ransley.
And Pat Ryan had a tremendous performance with Slash's King.
Yeah, very lightly raced since he came to Tasmania. He did really well in the Country Derby heat before virtually falling in the final. His run at Hobart was his first race run. It didn't begin all that well, but he showed great mid-race burst and won running away in 26.24. Yeah, pretty impressive dog.
Don't Pinch put the riding on the wall recently at Devonport with a close third to Rip and Tear. It was only beaten 2 lengths, and it was able to take out race number 10.
Yeah, he did. Look, he's another dog. He's a bit hard to follow. He's good is pretty good, and he's bad is awful. But he just got there at the right time and wouldn't have wanted to be much further, and Lash and Phil would have got him. But, Don't Pinch is a good little earner.
Launceston on Monday night. Classic Joel got the night off to a flying start for Anthony Bullock.
Yes, I'm not quite sure how that happened, to tell you the truth. Classic Joel's four runs before Monday night were about as pedestrian as you would ever see. I thought he was odds-on favourite to Dire Maiden, but just shows you how much I know. He won in pretty good fashion. If he keeps that up, he'll win again.
Yeah, we mentioned So Far Away last week by Dynatron from Salt and Swing, saying how it was bred in the purple. Well, it showed that another winning performance is not too far away, making it 2 out of 2.
Yep. I mean, what we need to see is, can So Far Away run further than 300? And look, the way it hits the line, I'd say she will. But her short course win at Hobart, then followed up by Monday night, and the time was pretty good, 16.18, much quicker than the other division. You'd say that she's very promising, and on breeding, she's entitled to be pretty good.
Mystic Devil made it 2 out of 3 on the track for Jared Donaldson.
Yep, good to see. Jared loves his dogs. They don't have very many runners. Won well at this trip, then got knocked over at this trip, and then won well again, giving Super Loud probably 4 length start over 278, which is not easy to do.
There was Buckle Up Wears on the injured list, unfortunately. Hell Yeah Bolt stepped up to the plate in the invitation.
He did. Box 7 wasn't exactly where he wanted to be, but he had a lot on that field. He worked his way into third spot around the first turn. Pipstar, you know, really got back to the old Pipstar form, which was good to see. But, you know, the champ sat on her and ended up running her down by 2 1/4.
First leg of the quaddie, Miss Somebody's form in Launceston has been solid. She'd won 3 out of 11 prior to Monday night. Now she's won 4 out of 12.
Yeah, look, she's a very good all-round bitch for Susan Giddes because she's very smart at the middle distances and she can sprint as well. She really hit the line hard. She gave the leader, Helia Razor, a very big start mid-race. She was probably 6 or 7 lengths off him, halfway down the back, and again, she won running away by 3 1/4.
Speaking of good records, Good Odds Demon took full advantage of the red box, made it 8 out of 14 in Tassie.
Yeah, if he keeps drawing the red box, that record will get even better too, because he's only a little tacker. He's only 27 kilos, or 27.8 for a male dog, which is, you know, on the real small side. But what he lacks in size, he's got in fight and heart. And he hit the line very strongly and upset what was nearly another win for Alan Anderson with Lashing Illusion.
And Dark Spider showed that the second behind Despicable Lee was no fluke with victory in the third leg of the quadrilla.
Yeah, look, there didn't look to be many leaders in that race, and Dark Spider ran to a big lead mid-race. And look, the 30-22 was a big improvement on what he'd been doing, and I'd say Robin Stocks has just found the key to this ex-mainlander and expect him to win again.
And Blue Tam made it 2 for the week. In fact, made it 3 in a row with victory on Monday.
Yeah, 3 for the fortnight and 29.93 coming out of box 6. Terrific performance. Not sure how far this bloke will go because it's hard to line up dogs that look so ordinary for their first 10 runs and then he's just, you know, completely gone to another level. Let's hope that continues.
Rapidor was only having its second start in the state for Gary Johnson. Didn't take long to get into the winner's circle.
Yeah, look, again, I'm not sure how that won. Its form over its whole career here and in Victoria, it's 50-odd starts for 3 or 4 wins. Roxy Rhythm was in front, formerly a very good bitch. She's obviously not the dog she was. Jury's out on Rapidor, but the run was good Monday night.
Gary Johnson followed up in the last with JD Bear.
Yep, JD Bear's been running consistently in its 3 or 4 runs since it came here. That's the best it's begun on Monday night, and the 29.95 was a bit of a shock in that grade, but it just shows you that the dog's just really coming right, and I reckon Gary's going to have a bit of fun with it.
Well, you have some fun with Buddy Good Boy because it took out the first race at Devonport as the reserve runner, hitting the line strongly.
He did. He won at about 10.45 on Monday night, and then he won the first race at Devonport on Tuesday afternoon. Ex-Ted Medhurst Greyhound, he just had a couple of runs for Gary. He actually only had a couple of runs for Ted. Look, in all fairness, there were 8 dogs in that race that I thought would never win a race, but luckily they all got in the one race at the one time. I know that sounds a bit harsh, but in fairness to Buddy Good Boy, I did actually like the way he ran to the line. He hit the line terrific, and if he can do that again, he'll win again. As for the others, not sure.
Looking for another field of 8 that looks the same as last Tuesday. The second race was a greyhound that hit the line hard, Terracotta Girl.
Yes, I thought she was just a leader, but she was very good Super Bowl led early. Amazing Harry got up to her and they had a bit of a bump on the home turn, and as they did, Terracotta Girl whipped underneath. But look, in all fairness, she was just too good. She hit the line in really strong fashion. 25.90 was pretty good.
Double Chance broke its maiden status in the third.
Yes, off box 1 he looked like he'd get a trouble-free run, but it was far from that because all through the race, he missed the start slightly, but then he had a lot of trouble getting into the clear. When he did, he took out after the early leader, Top Line Tornado. And either way, the Stanford's ran 1-2, and Double Chance is definitely a better dog than Top Line Tornado.
In the fourth, it was Mountain Cuz who bounded home for Linda Nichols.
Yes, you don't see that many dogs on the sand tracks come from last to win. And Mountain Cuz was about a length and a half last after they'd gone about 20 yards. But good overdue win for Lyndon Nichols. Came around the outside, albeit the meeting at Devonport on Tuesday was pretty bad. And whilst we're on that, the last week we had 8 races at Launceston. This week we had 8 races at Devonport. There are an unbelievable number of dogs trialling at the moment. I can't believe we're not getting full meetings. And people are just costing themselves money. So come on, trainers, get out there and fill these meetings up.
Pat Ryan filling up. Kirkby Lodge whipped around and out wide, hit the front, turning off the back and raced away for a convincing win in the first leg of the quaddie.
Yep, Pat Ryan, first run with Kirkby Lodge. He's been a good dog all along, but he just ruins his racing by being such a duffer out of the boxes. He's out of a terrific litter. Like, he beat his litter brother in Great Taylors, and Daniels Bay's another one, and Barnes Bay's another one. Very, very good litter of dogs. Kirkby Lodge has got as much ability as any of them. He's a wide runner that misses the start. So box 8 at Devonport was exactly where he wanted to be.
Winburn Loco was heavily backed in race number 6. Its form at Devonport had the duck eggs up. Its overall form has won 3 and been placed 2 of 16 prior to Tuesday. But at Devonport, 7 starts, no wins, no seconds, no thirds. That's all changed after race 6.
Look, you look at its Launceston form and some of its wins have just been exceptional. I don't know whether they called it Winburn Loco because she's a bit loco, because she's a very strange dog, or because she's got a locomotive engine, because she's very quick. 25.64 was a pretty good run for a dog that hadn't run a place on the track. Look, box 1, I think, was a big advantage to it. If ever the dog gets confidence in a field, it'll go on to a high level.
Speaking of times, Senior Slammer, race 7.
Yeah, another dog that you need to put on the psychiatrist's couch. When he leads, he is an exceptional talent, and he is good enough to win a race like the Devonport Cup, like 25-22. That's getting down to very, very serious. And he led Flash Innings by about 3 lengths, and like Flash Innings is probably one of the best beginners going around. The sky's the limit when he leads, but when he's not in front, you don't want to be on.
And then in the last, punters were flattened with the Anthony Bullock trained Hold On Coupe.
Well, they're probably more flattened by the performance of the hot favourite Cool Puppy. And without being smart, we did say that Cool Puppy's got a funny galloping action and his 3 wins have been all in front. When dogs with such actions get behind, they can be in a bit of trouble. Look, he missed the start, which is the first time he's done that. And he did get shunted very wide mid-race. So I wouldn't be dropping off Cool Puppy. But Hold On Coop's just been a good old performer for Anthony Bullock. Say old, he's probably not that old, but he seems like he's been around for a long time. I think he was Johnny on the spot on Tuesday. He was outside the early leaders in Whitford, Mitts and Shantytown Lad. And he just overpowered them into the run to the line.
You got a greyhound for us to follow, Greg?
Well, actually, from that race, I like a little bitch called Whitford Miss. She's a good beginning rail of it. When she gets her own way in a right grade, she's pretty hard to beat and a good dog to follow because she always seems to be big odds.
Whitford Miss, the greyhound to follow for this week. Thanks for your time to begin today, Greg.
Thanks, Shane.
Every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
National time in greyhound racing around Australia. The Tasmanian representatives, of course, Buckle Up Wes, unfortunately injured during the final of the Sprint Championship, replaced by Dominator Girl. And in the Distance Championship, it's Painted Dotty, who's already across in Western Australia to race on the in the big final night coming up at Kennington. And talking with us today is trainer Mick Stringer. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, Shane.
Now, you must have been delighted with the performance of Painted Dotty. In the prelude, she won brilliantly and then she showed plenty of courage in the final.
Yeah, no, really, really happy with her. Yeah, she had to dig deep in the final. She missed the start a bit from 8 and never really got on the track. So the run was full of merit if you look at it in the context of things. She was sort of caught wide for most of the way and toughed it out pretty good.
Yeah, well, the challenges were coming thick and fast at the finish. Pedro's Vineyard was flying and Wild Cindy out wide on the track, but she just popped her head out right on the line for you and got the trip to Western Australia. Now, you took her to New South Wales prior to the series. Mick, what was the plan behind that?
Well, we couldn't get a race down here. I entered her about 3 times for 700-metre races in Launceston and a 5.99 through to all down here at Hobart, and we couldn't get a field, so I thought I'd shoot her up there. They seem to be getting a 7:20, you know, race grade five up there. She's only grade five up there. Friday and you know every Friday or Saturday night, and it worked out okay because she really excelled up there. She sort of had to measure to some extent up there over the 7:20.
And she won, was it three on the trot?
Yeah, she ran third first up, and then she won at Wentworth Park on the Saturday night, and we took her to Richmond, and she hadn't been there, but she won really well, and we brought her back to Wentworth Park, and she won there again on the Saturday night as well. So it was two sort of city wins up there, and it was good.
Now, how far back did you start to plot the course towards this state distance championship?
Oh, she always showed, strength. She's very, very clean-winded bitch. And, it's like over the sprint journeys when I first sort of kicked her off, she wouldn't blow a candle out, and she just loves working. And I stepped her up a couple of times there, the 5:99 and the 5:80, 600 metre at Launceston, and she won well up in Launceston. And I thought, well, then, this little bitch, she'll definitely get the 700, so we'll have a crack at the distance championship when it comes around.
Well, the plan's worked a treat. Now, she's already over in Western Australia. Any reports back on how she's going?
Yeah, no, she settled in really well. The trip up to Sydney, sort of did her the world of good. She's learnt to travel, and she arrived over there in good fettle. And she's with Linda Britton at the moment, and I'm going over tomorrow just to sort of, see if everything's okay. But she trialled there Monday night, and we give her a look at the track, and she pulled up a treat, and Linda, asked Linda to give her a good hard hit out today, and I'll have a look at it tomorrow, and we'll see where we go from there, yeah.
Just apply that last-minute mixed ring of polish when you arrive.
I don't know about that.
Now, how do you rate it with some of the other greyhounds that you've had over the years? Vic, you've had some top notches go around.
Yeah, well, she's probably, she's a nice little bitch, this, like some of the better dogs I've had, she probably wouldn't, get within cooey of them, really. I've had some pretty smart dogs, but she's a good, honest little dog, She gives you her all every time you put her around. That's what I like about her.
She's always giving her best, that's for sure. You've had some success in the past in Western Australia.
Yeah, Top Line Derby, we won the Oaks with her over there. Took her over and sort of same plan, sent her over to Linda, and she trialled her for me. Then I went over and, had a look at her and it's sort of the same plan. She won the Oaks for us over there, and then I sent her back a year later, and she won a grade five over there in 30-11, which is just, sort of low flying.
Who do you see as the main dangers in the final?
Oh, crikey, Teddy. The other seven, I reckon. we've drawn well in one for sure, but, the Zoya Allen and Sweet It Is, they look like they're outstanding staying bitches. They seem to have the measure of, most other dogs are in Australia at this stage, but, they're definitely the main dangers. But, I'm hoping, always go into a race, I sort of don't give up hope. I don't declare defeat before we get there, You're in it, and you've got to be in it to win it, haven't you,
Absolutely. And one thing you'll know for sure, Vic, she'll give 100%.
Oh, she'll give you everything, yeah. That's a four-day. She just tries. Out of the last 22 or three starts, I think she's only been out of the place once.
She's been a great performer for you, and we wish you all the best. I'm sure Tasmania will be behind you, and, of course, also Dominator Girl, who's going around in the sprint final on Saturday.
The people, the previews and selections in all three codes. This is Taz Racing Talk.
Youngstar Classic final coming up in Hobart on Thursday night in Greyhound Racing action. The tip is all the winners on the card. And the rest of the week, Rick Puccinelli. How are you, Rick?
Well, Shane.
Well, last week in Hobart, your tip was the quaddy, paid about $580. It's the top two picks got us through there, so we need another repeat performance this week. What about the first leg?
Shane, I went with number 7, Classic Spence. Been going good of late. I think he's got a very good chance. 7 on top. I put his kennel mate in for 2nd, Gemstone Jack. Now, he's a bit erratic. He can do a few things wrong, but you've got to include him. 6, Springfall. I've alluded to the public over the last few weeks that he's now grinding, and he's certainly doing that at the moment. And 4, Camdale Luke. Might be one of the likely leaders. 7, 5, 6 and 4.
Youngstar Classic final is race number 6 on the card. The Island's Force has come up with the red box, but Star Chamber, pretty impressive last week.
Yeah, Shane, I'm tipping Star Chamber. Look, he went 26 seconds last week, and he was very impressive. The only thing that I tell the listeners is I don't know where he's going to settle off my speed map. He's a desperate railer. He's a very, very promising dog, but I just can't take the short odds that might be on offer. 8 on top. 1 Island's Force because he's drawn very good. I thought his kennel mate Boston Heart went good in the heat, and I put in number 6, Get It Right. Good win last week from box 8. 8, 1, 2 and 6.
In the third leg, Slash's King, great win last week. Can it do it again?
I can't see why it can't do it again, Shane. He can be a little bit tardy out, then zoom. His win was very, very good. I put him on top. I put in number 3, Wee Fire. Now, she's probably the likely leader in the race and's got a good chance. 1, Hannah Bonin because of the draw, and 5, Barnes Bay. 7, 3, 1 and 5.
In the last leg, the last time Mason Pines drew box number 1, it bolted in.
And ran a very, very scintillating time at Launceston. I can't see why he can't repeat the dose. He's been crying out for box 1. 1, Mason Pine. 4, Eyes on Destruction. Can only benefit from the run last week. Got a good chance. 8, High Sierra is very well drawn. And 3, Enfield Flame will be running home. 1, 4, 8 and 3.
Rich Cotty for Hobart. First leg, 7, 5, 6, 4. Second leg, 8, 1, 2, 6. Third leg, 7, 3, 1, 5. Last leg, 1, 4, 8 and 3. Where do we go for a best bet in Hobart?
Shane, on a night that's a very, very difficult program, I went with a little bit of value, race 4, number 8, Despicable Lee. It's been placed 3 of its 4 runs at Hobart. I don't think box 8 will be a hindrance to it, and there's some chance that it might zoom across. Race 4, number 8, Despicable Lee.
Despicable Lee, the best bet. Launceston on Monday night, only 8 races on the card. Again, the first leg of the quaddie is race number 5.
Shane, I went with number 4, Snoring Nora. Her run second last week behind Rapidor was very good. She reserves the best form for Launceston. I put her on top. King Nitro, he's got that little hoodoo. He's unplaced 3 for 3 on the track. Just forget he went round last week. He found a lot of trouble. 2, Super Bowl and 5, High Sierra. 4, 3, 2 and 5.
In the second leg, looks as if Blue Tam's will and truly turned the corner.
Turn the corner. Since it joined the Alan Anderson's kennel, it's grown a leg and it's flying. Its win last week in 29.93, considering the best was 29.89. Got to put it on top. 4 on top. 8 Great Taylors has got a nice draw. 1 Bailey's Common will appreciate the red box. And a greyhound that would be massive odds, Shane, called Who That Dude. Now, he looks like his last run was a lot better than what it looked on paper. He's got a chance at big odds. 4, 8, 1 and 2.
Third leg. Looks a really tough race on paper.
Shane, I'm telling the listeners to put the field in because I'm going to try and narrow it in 4 and I could be totally wrong here. I went 1 Classic Spence, 3 Lashing Illusion, 4 Oscar Ralph and 5 Barnes Bay. I found it a very hard race. 1, 3, 4 and 5.
And in the last leg, it's a grade 5 and again, looks a tough job for coming up with a winner here.
Yeah, again, Shane, it is quite hard. I'm taking with Enfield Mask. I think it'll appreciate the circle and the 5.15 run home very strongly. 2 on top. 7 Rock Royalty ran a very bold race behind Dark Spider last week for 2nd. 4 Swinging Hammer. Now, it didn't do anything much at Devonport at debut run, but what interested me was there was a good money trail for it throughout the, you know, meeting before the race and, you know, while the race was about to start. So I've got to respect that. And I put in number 1, Chili Wax, got a chance from the draw. 2, 7, 4 and 1.
Well, Launceston Quaddie in the first leg, 4, 3, 2, 5. Second leg, 4, 8, 1, 2. Third leg, 1, 3, 4, 5. Last leg, 2, 7, 4 and 1. Where's your best in Launceston?
Go early, Shane. A greyhound that had ran third at its last appearance, and on face value, I didn't think it had a lot of luck. It was nearly going to zoom to the lead and got checked. How's that, Grace? I think it's a very, very promising pup. Race 1, number 4. How's that, Grace?
Well, we'd have to go early because there is no late. There are only 8 races on the card. Devonport on Tuesday. The first leg of the quaddie is the grade 5. Calamac Blaze is back on the track.
Yeah, Shane, he's got a good chance. I'm just going with a fitness runner in Underground. He's been racing in top company at Hobart in recent weeks. I thought his runs have been good. Put him on top. 7 Calamac Blaze is Baz is definitely the big query runner, number 7. 2 Top Line Tornado went okay last week, and Cosmic Harry, now that he's won, he might go on with it. 5, 7, 2, and 3.
Yeah, the second leg, it's a grade 4, major chance it looked to be drawn off the track.
Yeah, Shane, Chinchero was going to lead last week and got decked, and I think from box 80 he was zoomed down the outside lead, and I think he'd be very hard to beat. Orange Boy hasn't been sighted for 6 weeks. He'll go good fresh. He's got a chance. Buddy Good Boy, number 1, was very impressive last Tuesday. He's got a chance. And 4, Hellier Tangle's got good early speed and will be up there. 8, 7, 1, and 4.
Now, the invitation race, the clash of the day. Your favourite against my favourite, Quick Advance drawing box number 1, and your old mate getting box number 6, Senor Slammer.
I've jumped in your corner, Shane.
Have you?
Yes, I have. I've gone 1 Quick Advance only because of the draw. Senor Slammer, he just ran unbelievable splits last week, and if someone told me that he was going to lead, I would have put my house on him. He's a very good dog on the bunny. 6 for second, Senor Slammer. 3rd, I put in number 2, Black Rip, and for 4th, I put in number 8, Flash Innings. 1, 6, 2, and 8.
You're a hard man to please. You've made him a good thing, especially he's run 25-22 and you've jumped off. Typical Richmond supporter. Grade 4 is the last leg. Winkley Rose, the Howard team is flying.
Yeah, going very good, Shane. She's won 2 of her past 3. Box 8 will suit her. I think she's got a great chance. 3 Mighty Serious will be one of the likely leaders and goes good at Devonport. Got a chance. Bit More Lindy's dropping back from an invitation back to a grade 4. She'll be up near the lead. Got a chance. And 1 Nick Nack Norris. If there's a blowout, he's the one. He'll be storming home. 8, 3, 2, and 1.
Devonport Quaddy on Tuesday for the Rick Piccinelli followers, of which there are thousands. In the first leg, 5, 7, 2, and 3. In the second leg, 8, 7, 1, and 4. Third leg, 1, 6, 2, 8. Last leg, 8, 3, 2, and 1. All we need now is a best bet for Devonport to wrap up your tips for the week.
Race 3, number 6, Code Black, Shane. Look, I think there's only 2 possible chances, and I'm working out that Code Black will be in front of Superficial. They're the only 2 chances, in my opinion. Code Black's a very, very nice dog. He'll be in front of Superficial. I think he'll win. Race 3, number 6, Code Black.
Good on you, Rick. Thanks for your thoughts today.
Thanks, Shane.
That takes us away for Taz Racing Talk for another week. Take you back plenty of winners over the next 7 days. We look forward to your company again next week. Remember, if you want the edge on Tassie Racing, it's tazracing.com.au.
Taz Racing Talk, every Wednesday on Carnival. On digital radio across Melbourne, streaming on your computer, tablet and smartphone. And later on podcast at rsn.net.au and tazracing.com.au.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.